So years ago, one of my buddies, he worked in the Foley stage. He did sound effects, right? And he needed this like a wind tunnel sound.
Okay.
So he goes, "Hey, you have any things that I could get that sound from?" I said, "You know what? Actually, there's a big blower room there. If you stick the mic like near the blower, perfect, you know." What does he do? He sticks the mic there, sucks it in, destroys his like $10,000 mic. I'm like, oh no. I felt so bad.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Ted, we are back for 2021 for episode 144. It's been a little bit. How the heck are you?
I'm well. I'm well rested, ready to talk about stuff with you, and happy to be in another year.
Back from the wars.
So to speak.
Yeah, we have my cousin Frank on. He was on episode 128 when he was first on. So this is our first two-time guest on the Trailer Junkies podcast. Man, Frank, you are, I don't know, like royalty here.
Breaking barriers. Like, yeah, he's...
this is great. Thank you, guys.
No, I remember listening to that episode, and I was in Maine, and I had driven cross country, and I was jogging that Thursday morning, and I had asked Jimmy to send it to me the way he normally does before the thing, and he's like, no, just wait till it comes out. You can listen to it like everybody else.
Oh, geez, yeah.
So I was jogging around the lake, and listening to Frank and Jimmy talk about Warner Brothers. It was awesome.
Yeah. So before we get into any of the stuff, I mean, we have a couple of studio guys here. I mean, you know, backlot guy and front office guy, and then I'm no guy. But before we get into the meat of everything, what do you say we open a couple of beers? I know every week, Frank, you know, as you know, we always have a beer.
Yeah, I remember last time we did it, and the shows I listened to you guys. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so how about maybe we'll let Ted go first, and then I'll go, and then you can have the honors to play to back cleanup on what you're drinking. So, Ted, how about you go first?
Awesome. So I know Jimmy and I have a lot of we traded back and forth a bunch of Christmas beers that we gave each other, so I'm looking forward to those. But with a guest, with Frank here, I think we're just going with nice off the shelf stuff
for sure.
So I went and I got a 6-pack of Dogfish Head 90-minute Imperial IPA. So always a classic, right?
Never tried that one.
Oh, one of my favorites.
Oh, it's great. It's beautiful.
I was looking for tonight actually, and I wound up getting something different, but yeah, that's one of my favorites. Well, while you're pouring that, I have a carryover from the holidays.
Okay.
So Anchor Brewing Company, who does Anchor Steam and all that stuff, they have their Merry Christmas, Happy New Year 2020 ale.
Oh, I saw that. Yes, I saw that in there.
Yeah, I got it at Albertsons, and I had it over the holidays, and it was such a really good and fantastic Christmas ale that whenever you get these like spiced beers and spiced ales and stuff, they're always so over the top spiced. And this thing was just like a good malty kind of almost like a porter. And it was so fantastic. I said, I'm going to save one for the show. And unfortunately, we didn't really record around Christmas, but we're after Christmas. So a belated Christmas and Happy New Year to you guys. And you know, here we are, and we're talking to Frank, and I see you got your Wall-E and Star Wars in the back, and, you know, your movie posters, so why the hell not, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, Big Frank, what do you have there for us?
Okay, so I had to go to BevMo because I forgot about the beer thing. So I have a Full Circle Brewing Company. It's called the Illa Vanilla. It's a milkshake IPA.
Milkshake IPA.
Yes. And it's brewed in Fresno, California.
Nice.
So let me crack this open.
That sucker. You know what's funny? I haven't had it since like Christmas when my in-laws were here and all this.
Yeah.
And it seems spicier than I remember. But maybe because, I don't know. I haven't had beer all week. I don't know. Maybe that's the reason. Who knows?
You haven't had beer all week? You aren't distracted by having, you know, people over and worried about your meals, your long laundry list of meals that I heard you went through
we were all over food at Christmas and stuff. How is it, Frank? How's it taste?
It's actually really good. It doesn't taste like a milkshake like it says it does.
Is that a 16 ounce?
Yes, 16 ounce. But it says milkshake.
Nice.
But it doesn't taste like a milkshake. It's more sweeter, like a lemony
taste.
But it's good, though. It's
cool.
Good.
Cool. So, Frank, last we talked, going back to August now, man, time gets by, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But last we talked, you were, production was down. Macbeth was just starting up with Denzel Washington. It was just getting back to production. And you, I think, we're coming back from a layoff, as I recall, and getting back to work and everything. So kind of give us the highlights and lowlights and maybe fill us in with kind of like just a brief overview where things are now. And let's, you know, and then we could get into the conversation of what Warner Brothers has been up to in the fall of COVID.
Well, let's see here. So now I only have one show for now.
Mm-hmm.
Last week after the holiday, and it was All American. But next week, all the shows are going to be back. So pretty much every show that Warner Brothers does, they've been shooting for the last, since June.
Wow.
So everything is 100% ramped up.
So everything's going in spite of like the COVID cases from the from Thanksgiving, from Christmas.
On the rise, everything's, yeah.
Yeah, all the surges and everything.
Yeah, that's why they took 2 weeks or about one show took a week. The other ones took 2 weeks just to make sure after the holidays that people get tested before they come back.
Oh, so they were off for those couple of weeks waiting, like almost quarantining everybody in a sense. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, because I was driving by one of the buildings and one of the locations manager for Young Sheldon, I see her driving by me and I said, hey, what are you doing? She goes, oh, I have to get my COVID test. Everybody on the show has to get it,
mm-hmm.
you know, before we could all come back to work.
Are those the 15-minute tests or the quick ones?
Those, the ones I get, Jim, I get it every Monday. And that's the one that's like, it said it takes up to 72 hours, 48 to 72 hours.
Now, is that in the nose or does it go all the way back?
No, it doesn't go all the way. They just swab the nose. It's like a circle motion around the nose.
Yeah, that's the one I did too. Yeah, is that what you've had, Ted, where it just goes kind of around the nose, or?
I've only done the oral ones where they do the oral and it's all over your mouth, under your tongue, and through your cheek and through your gums, and it's all over.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've never done an oral one.
Oh, and then, yeah, I did, when we went back east, I did get the nasal one, but the one that went to your brain. The one that goes all the way up to your brain.
Oh, man.
Was that just a horrible experience?
That hurts, I heard. That hurts and makes you bleed. It makes your eyes water.
No, I mean, I think Bryce had it the worst. He was like, he couldn't get it up there. And because he didn't take it all the way up, as the nurse was like, I'm sorry, we didn't get far enough, you gagged too soon, you know what I mean? So he had to start over. So, but yeah, we're all clean back east. This is, yeah, exactly the time that you guys are recording. So,
So how has your day changed? You know, your day to day, you know, when you show up to work and stuff, what are the protocols? What does it look like? To the extent that you could talk about, I guess.
Yeah, well, I could talk about it. There's nothing really hidden about it anyway. But pretty much the only people on the lot are production people. So all the other buildings, like we had to change the filters in Main Ad. It's two buildings and they're pretty big buildings. I would say there's like 150 offices, if not more. There wasn't one single person in that building, only the security guard.
So the administration is working from home.
Everybody, yeah. So the only people working there is just production people.
Camera and stuff. Right, right.
No matter, you know, or construction or utilities, but everything else, financing, everything, you know, that's, I'd say 3/4 of the lot is empty.
Oh, wow.
What about post? What about the post stuff? Post guys?
Post-production is there. All the sound engineers are there. They're doing all that. All the dubbing stages are 100% ramped up. Foley stages are ramped up. Every now and then you do screenings in theaters, but they can only have so many in there. But
right. What is it, like one-third capacity or something?
Something like that.
Yeah, everybody's like four seats apart or whatever it takes, you know.
Right. But yeah, no, it's, and I heard, I was talking to a security guard yesterday and he was telling me, I said, hey, when are they going to start moving back in these buildings? He said about July or August.
Really?
Yeah, that's what he told me. He just got an email. I didn't get it, but he got it.
And then what are you guys doing? I mean, are you guys putting in any kind of special filtering or what are you guys doing with regard to that stuff?
We're putting in a higher grade filter. So it catches more particles, but, you know.
It's all HEPA, like beyond HEPA, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Do you do special disposal of the older filters when you pull them out?
No, we just throw them in the trash.
Just trash them.
Yeah, just to throw them. We have a dumpster and they just, laborers just pick it up on their forklift and just dump it.
And then you're wearing like, I mean, you have to wear a mask all day and stuff, I would assume.
Oh, yeah. No. We have to wear a mask all day. And a couple of the shows, not all of them. I think it's like Call Me Cat. I don't know. That aired last Monday. It was a brand new show.
And we covered Call Me Cat on episode 141. So just a couple episodes ago.
Oh, did you? Yeah. They're direct. So I get tested from them.
Oh, there. See, that's hilarious. I love that.
That show. Yeah, they're really nice. Everybody's really nice. But I have to wear a, what is that? A 95 mask?
Yeah, the N95. Yeah.
M95, and I have to wear a face shield when I walk in the stage of their production offices. But some shows aren't requiring the face shield. Some do, some don't. I guess it depends on the production.
And how do they determine?
I don't know, Jim. That's one thing I want to know.
Hey, I bet it's because, you know, their lead actress is a medical doctor.
No, she's a neurologist, so.
But wasn't she has like an MD, right? She could be an MD if she wanted, right? With the neurology?
No, she's a PhD.
Oh, okay.
Mia Bialik?
Yeah.
So, for example, there's a new show that's actually prepping. I don't. It's like a college thing, you know, Kaylee Cuoco.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's supposed to be about her heights. It's supposed to be about her college years.
Okay.
So the lady calls me and she goes, "Hey, what are the fans? What percentage are these fans for the stage set at?" And I looked and I said, "Oh, they're about 65%." She goes, "Well, our COVID regulations, we have to have it at 75%." And I'm thinking, "Well, wait a second. 75% of the shows don't shoot with the air on
at
because
all,
it's
right?
Cold outside. Why are they?" So I'm trying to figure out what the heck is right. What's this, you know, like what is right? What is wrong? You know, it's funny, Jim. So I walk in those stages and those cats are actually trained. No, they are. It's funny because they'll sit there and they won't move for like 20 minutes or a half an hour. They sit in the chair and they go, "Come on." And the cat jumps off and does this little line.
So you're telling me that cat wrangling is a literal, actual, real job.
Well, I was going to say, yeah. It gives new meaning to herding cats.
No, it's funny because those cats, I walked in there and I watched them film once. I'm like, that can't be real. These are, no, they were real cats. And I couldn't believe they're like dogs.
Cats that think they're dogs.
So the Kaylee Cuoco one, you said it's about her college years. It's not about her real college years.
It's supposed to be based on that, I think.
So it's like quasi-documentary on her?
No, it's a TV show.
No, I understand. But I'm saying it's literally about her, though? Or is it like a...
It's autobiographical, but it's fiction.
There you go. Perfect. Oh, there
okay,
you go.
Okay.
Exactly. Got exactly.
It. Yeah, I was going to say, that would be amazing if she's like made a show on herself.
Well, they often do. You know what I mean? It's often like exaggerations and caricatures of all that, of what happened. Because, you know, as if you're a writer or an actor and you're in a scenario, in a situation, and you know, it has to go down in real life, I'm sure you just go home and you just write it the way that it would have been really awesome to react to that guy saying that thing in the street. And then you write it down and you have your vindication on film, you know?
I'm just curious how they're going to do it, because I was talking to one of the operations managers and he told me that they're going to have hundreds and hundreds of extras in this show. And I'm thinking, how in the hell are they going to pull that off? Especially with the COVID regulations, you know?
Right.
So I have no idea.
Yeah, so speaking of getting crowds together and all that stuff, and you know, you're looking at Cobra Kai, and I know when Frank was in the green room, we were talking a little bit about Cobra Kai.
Did you guys both finish season 3?
Yes, I loved it.
Oh, yeah, we finished it.
Okay, great. Okay.
You know, and what disappointed me, before I get to what I wanted to say, what disappointed me was you get to the end, and you're like, you know there's something after the credits. You go through the whole credits, nothing.
Not yet.
I was so disappointed. That's right, I thought you're there was going to, because season 2 ended with he's at the beach and then Elizabeth Shue comes and you're like, oh my God, you know, and I'm expecting the exact same thing. And then they're going to say new episode summer 2021 or something. You know, I'm expecting something. No, right. It just ended.
It's over.
But, you know, I liked it that way. There's no cliffhanger. I like that.
There was a cliffhanger.
Well, I mean, it ended where we don't have to wait to find out what happened, like the first, you know, like you said. Oh, yeah.
Well, we know it's
about the tournament.
Right.
It's the tournament.
Yeah.
But so have you guys seen the Netflix After Party?
No.
I started to watch it. I only watched 5 minutes. I didn't get into it.
It was awful for one.
Preoccupied. Was it bad? Okay. I didn't miss anything.
David Spade was so stiff. I mean, his jokes were so forced. It was awful. But that's not really what I wanted to talk about, how horrible his production was, though there was an extremely funny scene and there was an extremely funny moment on that. But so they had a bunch of people come in, and they had Ralph Macchio and whoever played Johnny Lawrence. I don't know his name, unfortunately. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But they had those guys like on a Zoom screen. And then they had, you know, some of the main actors who were the teens and so on. And then Elizabeth Shue came in, and they had David Spade, and they had the one woman in flannel who was on The Cabin, right?
Oh, yeah. The Cabin with, I thought that was Cuco. Wasn't that Cuco?
Well, she was on there, but who was remember when he was waxing his ass?
Yeah. Bert Kreischer.
Yeah, remember when he was waxing his ass, and there was the lesbian woman.
Yeah, that comedian came in. Yeah,
yeah, and she just like left.
Oh yeah. They had her on.
So she was on the show. I don't remember her name. Oh God, I should be more prepared for these things.
We're just getting rolling.
Yeah, it's 2021. We're getting warmed up. But it was hilarious though. She's like, oh, I was in Cobra Kai, and everybody in the crowd there, they're all looking at her like, what do you mean you were in Cobra Kai? And the chubby blonde curly haired kid. If you recall, so she's like, yeah, this is who I played. And so they put that kid on the screen.
No way. They put them right next to each other.
Yeah, it was. And she looks just like that kid, man. It was pretty funny. The reason I bring that up, though, is they have all these people on set together. I mean, they're cheeks to jowls close to each other. And I'm thinking, like, they all must have done, like, the 15-minute COVID test moments before going on stage together. And they're all, like, hugging each other. And they're all... And I'm thinking to myself, like, you know, you're watching it. And then about 5 minutes into this whole thing, you're like, wait a minute. This is COVID. What are they doing? You know, and it strikes. But...
Especially they shut down about, I don't know, Jim, since June. I would say pretty much every show almost had a case where they had to shut down for a couple of days.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know anybody who tested positive at Warner Brothers? Whether it's like behind the camera, front of the camera?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to name names, of course. But
yeah.
A couple people I know.
Well, and what about the trace? If you know that they got it, right, and then they have to stay home, but you've been exposed to them, they test on a Monday, they don't make you stop coming to work, and then you get the test back on Wednesday, and then when they get the test back, then they say, hey, guy, you know, you don't have to come, you're not coming into work today, you tested positive. Then all the people that came in touch with him, do you guys get retested, or you just wait till next week?
Well, here's what happened. So probably about July, we were doing at our archives building on the roof. We were working with one of the electricians. He got COVID. Two of our guys in our shop were working next to him.
Right.
They didn't get the COVID, but they had to quarantine for 2 weeks. And the work paid them. Our work paid them.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like, so right before the holidays, I was changing filters in one of the buildings. It took me a week. So now, since the new law came in effect, they have to notify us. Like, they sent an email out and said, you know, this person was in this building, this building, this building. And guess what? Of course, the only building that I was in for 2 weeks, this guy happened to be in there. And he had the COVID.
No.
What?
But I didn't get it. Thank God. I got tested. I didn't get it. But
you didn't have to quarantine either.
No.
Okay. Lucky.
Because I got tested. But I understand what you're saying, yeah. Ted. It's like, how do you know if I get tested on Monday, what if I get it on Wednesday? And you know what I'm saying? I mean, you're right, though. I mean, it's, you don't know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The test is a snapshot in time. You get tested 8 a.m, you encounter someone with COVID at 8:30.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the test is only good for the 8 o'clock snapshot.
Right.
But anything after that, man, good luck for the rest of the week.
No, it's scary. I mean, it kind of freaked me out a little bit.
I bet.
I'm like, oh, jeez, great. But thank God I didn't. I'm fine. But
And I bet, you know, and I think, you know, wearing masks and having the face shields, we've actually stepped up to doing face shields and gloves, you know, whenever we have to go to the grocery store or anything like that. So
it's hard to walk around with those face shields. Oh, I noticed that. The one I did, it's like, man, it's like, it's hard. I don't know. For me, it's hard to walk around with those things.
Clarissa ordered some, I think it was like off eBay or something. She got some face shields for work. And the reason she ordered her own is the ones provided by work, they're like what you were saying, Frank. They're like, they distort your image or something, and it's hard to see.
Yeah.
So she got some better ones. I mean, it's not like they're expensive, but she got some better ones and stuff to take to work to use and everything when she's doing, like, because she actually does the swabbing.
Right.
As an RN, you know, like, she's like on the front lines, and her facility, I don't know the exact number, but I don't think I'm too far off, but they're right around 25 right now, current
cases.
In the building, like active cases right now. And they had about, I want to say, somewhere between 2 and 5 people, maybe not 5, but 2 and 4 people probably that passed away in the past couple weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
And what's the occupancy? What how many people in there? 100 people in there?
Roughly. Yeah, I don't know exactly what they have now. She could probably tell us, but yeah, they're sitting, say, I think their max capacity is like 120. They're probably somewhere around 100, and I think they have about 20 to 25 active, and they had like somewhere around 2, 3, or 4, something like that, in the past couple weeks that passed away.
Jeez.
Wow.
So, yeah, and she's like on the front line swabbing people and stuff. She comes home, strips off in the garage, throws everything in the washing machine, goes and takes a shower, and then it's like, all right, I'll eat dinner now. Like, that's her nightly routine, you know?
Routine, yeah.
That's got to be scary, Jim, for the kids and you. I mean, because you never know, man. I mean, she's at the front line. You have a better chance of getting it than obviously me or Ted do.
Yeah, they have like a half dozen nurses and stuff that are positive right now from doing it all. So, I mean, she takes the precautions.
Wow.
And then what's the vaccine looking like for her building and her team?
From what I understand, it's like a two-dose vaccine.
Yeah.
So the first dose has gone through, and okay, I don't know when the second dose comes.
It's like 6 weeks,
it's something like that. So
you're in between. So she's had her first dose.
Right. And that, yeah.
The second dose is the one that's supposed to be more of a hit.
That's what I heard.
Like, the first one's super light and mild, and then the second one might knock you like a flu shot.
Oh, man.
I've heard some people got the second dose, and they've actually had fevers, and they were they were laid up for a day or two.
Exactly.
Oh, geez.
So, yeah, I guess we'll find out, but
that's like another building, Jim. So about a month ago, I'm working in the wardrobe building, right? Because they were too cold in there. So I'm in there for like the first floor, the second floor. And what happens? This is before they were allowed to, the law passed where they have to email you. So there was no email.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I drove by the building. I'm like, well, it's all locked up. One of my buddies goes, oh, yeah, somebody had COVID there. And I'm thinking, oh, geez. And I was there yesterday and the day before. I think you got to be kidding me.
Is that Edith Head? Is that?
Who's that?
Edith Head, isn't that the building or the, where with all the wardrobe and all the?
No, it's building 153. It's just the wardrobe building.
What, do you know the building I'm talking about? Edith Head, the, there's like a super tall building. It has like the, it has a museum in it. It has all the bat, the Batmobile stuff in it and all that.
Oh, is that, I don't think it's on the main lot though.
Maybe that's not the main lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cause our main lot.
It's on the tour. It's on the tour when you take the tour, the Warner Brothers tour.
Mm-hmm. See, Ted's just talking from a tourist.
I'm a tourist. I, you know, when I go to Warner Brothers, I take the little trolley tour, you know?
Well, next time you come, Ted, I'll give you a personal tour.
Okay, good.
But we got to wait till things die down, though.
Yeah, of course, of course.
Yeah, Frank's given us, me and Clarissa, a few.
Yeah, I've given you one too, Jim, remember?
Oh, you gave us a couple of them. Yeah, go through the sound stages and the editing rooms, and it was awesome, man. The Foley, you showed it, you had your sound engineer buddies showing us around, and
Jimmy loves the sound, the Foley stages. He talks about it a lot.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Oh, those are fun.
I love it. It's amazing.
Oh, those are fun.
Well, you know, the thing I love about it though is when you watch movies and it's just somebody walking, you think to yourself, like, really? They're walking. Is that really Foley? But yes, everything's Foley. It's always bigger than life, you know?
Yeah.
Pouring a glass of water is Foley. You know, it's just shocking how sound effects play into every aspect of a movie or a TV show or whatever it is. It's
so I got to tell you a funny story, Jim. Different subject. So
I prefer a different subject than COVID.
So years ago, one of my buddies, he worked in the Foley stage. He did sound effects, right? And he needed this. Like a wind tunnel sound.
Okay.
So he goes, hey, you have any things that I could get that sound from? I said, you know what? Actually, there's a big blower room there. If you stick the mic like near the blower, perfect, you know. What does he do? He sticks the mic there, sucks it in, destroys his like $10,000 mic. I'm like, oh no. I felt so bad.
Because the vacuum it was pulling, whatever, was so strong.
It did. Exactly.
Oh, man.
I felt so bad. Oh, man. He was like, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. The thing. And, oh, man, I felt so bad.
But you called it a blower, and I was expecting it to blow, and it was a sucker.
It was like a...
Well, what was it, like a cold air like return or big, something?
No, it was one of our big air handler supplies.
Oh, okay.
So it was just like a big fan. It was, you know... And it's just, you know, it's like two-story building. So this one fan did the both stories.
Yeah.
So it's pretty big. The blower wheel assembly was pretty big. And it just sucked it right in. Like it was like, then you heard this little crumble sound. I'm like, oh, no.
That's amazing.
Did it hurt your fan, though? That's what I want to know.
No, it didn't hurt the fan, but it hurt his mic.
I know. He loses like a $10,000 like recording device. And you're like, what are you doing to my fan?
You know, it's funny. It probably that mic probably cost more than the whole air conditioning system at the time.
That's great, man. So where would you say, like, on the lot, you know, given, I mean, okay, I'm not going to say pre-COVID, but let's say non-COVID. Like, let's say COVID doesn't exist. Where do you hang out mostly? Like, you know, different stages, different shows? Ellen, are you in your office? Like, where are you hanging out? What are you doing? What does your day look like?
Well, when I was at the ranch, the Warner Ranch, I would just do maintenance, change filter, check belts, talk to people, BS with people, sit in the office. I mean, just the calls come in. They're too hot. They're too cold. You know, pick stuff. Whatever comes up. You know, you're basically on standby.
Yeah. I mean, we got married in Burbank July 1st, 2006. Now everybody knows my anniversary. For the security questions on what year did you get married? So, although fortunately, I don't ever put in the real information. So we had a lot of family come in from, like, you know, Illinois and all this stuff. And we had people and people from Texas and everything were there for Clarissa's side. And on our wedding day, it was like about 110
or something. Jim.
It was like 110 degrees.
It was brutal. It was like the hottest day ever. And it was, of course, it was Jimmy's. I remember that. It was like brutal.
Oh, it was god awful. And that's in Burbank. And you work in Burbank. So, I mean, 110 degrees is not atypical of what you're doing on a typical day. So you're probably pretty busy with air conditioning and stuff, I would think.
Yeah, when everybody's on the lot, like you said, pre-COVID, yeah, there's thousands of employees there. Some are hot, some are cold, some are, you know.
Everybody's bitching. Right. It's not the way I like it. Right?
Exactly, Jim. But now with the COVID thing, okay, usually in the summertime, we'd probably get about 30 to 40 calls a day.
Okay.
COVID, we got about 1 to 2 calls a day.
Wow.
So that shows you how empty that lot is.
Wow.
You know, not that your boss is listening or anything, but would you say like life is easier or harder during COVID?
I would say it's harder because we're changing more filters and being more cautious.
Oh, okay.
And
okay,
being more thorough with our maintenances than we have in the past.
The frequency's up, huh?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
No, that makes total sense, though. I mean, you think like it would be busier and stuff, and maybe it is because people are complaining when there's more people. But in the age of COVID, you're probably, like you said, you're running maintenance more often. You're taking care of everything. You're probably sanitizing your blades and you're probably doing all kinds of stuff that you wouldn't typically do.
No, and like I said too, Jim, it also depends on the production. Some are a little more not as paranoid. Some are like really paranoid. It was like, remember the building I told you about, the I was in the holidays and that guy had the COVID, and I remember I told you the email?
Yeah.
So when I talked to the building manager, I told her I got to get in there to change the filters because they're not in there. So what did they do when I was done? I saw a guy look like Ghostbusters go in there and he's spraying everything down and everything.
Oh, man.
He looked like one of the Ghostbusters. I swear to God.
So do you think these changes will be permanent, or do you think it's just for now?
I think that's something your wife could answer better than me. I don't know.
No, I don't mean testing and stuff. I mean just the way you're doing with the filters.
Oh, if it keeps on, if the COVID doesn't go away, then yeah, we'll be changing those filters every couple of months.
Yeah, what's the mood of the lot? I mean, are people in a good mood, or are people like,
yeah, everybody, hey, you know what? I think everybody's blessed that they're working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like, trust me, I know people were out for like 5 or 6 months and they're like, thank you, God, for letting me
bringing people back.
Go back to work.
So the mood of the lot's pretty positive, pardon the pun.
Oh, yeah, big time. I mean, you get a couple of idiots who always complain, but you know how that goes.
Hey, you can always complain. There's always room to complain.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, I know a couple people, not in our shop, but I know a couple people on the shows, they bitch about the masks. And it's like, oh, these stupid masks. I hate wearing these damn things. And it's like, dude, you got a job. What are you bitching for?
Okay, that brings me to a question. And I, you know, we had a crazy week this week. Everybody already knows what happened with the Capitol building, and
right,
you know, I don't want to go down that path, but what I do want to say is, though, generally speaking, you know, and I want to kind of tread lightly here.
Yes.
What is the mood of the lot? I mean, I'm sure there are Trump supporters that you work with and so on. And with all the COVID stuff, are people like compliantly defiant, if that makes sense? Like they're wearing the mask, but they're like yelling about it because they know they have to be there to work and stuff, right? So they're going to wear the mask, but they're going to like blame Newsom or blame Obama, or they're going to blame somebody, right? Do you find that to be commonplace? Not at all? Or what do you see as far as that kind of stuff goes? You know, like if you look at it down political or party lines.
Okay, how about this, Jim? Let's say if you got 10 people, I see 3 people bitching.
Right.
2 or 3. How's that?
About 20%.
So like 20%, 30%, about 20%. Most of the people I know,
right,
are scared of it. There's a couple of people who are like, oh, I just had a party at my in-laws last week and I invited over 30 people. Oh, no. I'm like, get the hell away from me, man. It's like
30 people? What are they thinking?
I know. Yeah, I know. It's like, you know, if somebody got COVID, they should fire that guy. Seriously, for being that ignorant.
Yeah.
There's got to be some rules or laws on that, you know, this ignorance.
Yeah, like, you know, over the holidays, we had Frank and Barbara here, you know, my in-laws. and they don't go anywhere. Clarissa gets tested every week. I've been tested, but not every week.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, but I don't leave the house, you know what I mean? And it's fair mm-hmm. to say that, you know, I mean, everybody's healthy and, you know, nobody's contracted it, obviously. But yeah, I mean, I would not have all of my neighbors over and everybody hanging out partying and stuff. I mean, like, they were the extent of it. That was all we yeah. did, you know what I mean? Because, you know, it's like, that's the last thing you need is some, cause like, you know, yeah, I know where I've been and, you know, you like to think, you know, where some people have been, but you don't know where everybody's been.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And you don't know where the people that they've come in contact, where they've been.
Right. It's that opening like scene that of outbreak. STD. You know what I mean? Oh, God. Yeah. The STD commercial.
The STD commercial from like the late 80s. You know, you sleep with this person. They sleep. And the next thing you know, everybody's like fucking everybody.
Well, do you remember the movie Outbreak, right? The beginning, the opening scene of Outbreak. The guy goes to the movie theater with the flu. You worked on that, right? And he coughed in the movie theater.
Is that the one Dustin Hoffman?
Yeah. Dustin Hoffman.
Yep. I worked on that one. That's there so funny. Is. Yeah. 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 No, but you know, what's really funny, too. Usually about this time of the year, like January, I always would catch a cold or something.
Yeah.
You know, since I'm wearing these masks.
Not catching anything.
I feel 100. This is the best I've felt in years. I'll be honest. It's weird.
You know what's funny, Frank? I was thinking about, I was in the backyard working and stuff today. And, you know, we had some roofing stuff done on the house. And I was in the backyard cleaning some things up and moving things around. And I thought that exact thing today. I'm like, you know, it's January and I haven't had a cold yet.
I know. I really think the masks actually
everywhere,
do.
You know?
No, but the masks actually work. I mean, to an extent, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
yes. Yeah. No, they cut down on so many particulates, you know? And I think, you know, Jim, you asked if it's going to go back to normal. And obviously medical professionals will talk about this with more professionalism than us. But I think from a gut level, it feels like, you know, I think that's very common. I think people saying like, oh, look, the cold, the flu, I haven't caught it this year. I'm wearing a mask everywhere.
They let their guard down.
Well, no, I think the opposite. I think, you know, if you have a cold or a flu in years to come, we could switch to, you know, maybe a more polite society that, hey, I have to go out and stuff. I might have a cold.
Oh,
I might have
sniffles. You're right.
I'll wear the mask, you know? Or if somebody doesn't want to get the cold and it hits flu season and you hear a flu, you know, you always hear about the flu going around, right? When you hear about the flu going around, what do we do in the past years? We've done nothing.
We've done nothing.
But now, nothing. When you hear that the flu's going around, you can start wearing a mask, right?
You know what bothers me about that, though, is a mask is a very visual thing,
right?
When you think about it, right? So it's like you said, okay, we've done nothing in the past. People spread the flu. Now, all things equal, I might be getting sick. Let me put on a mask. Boom, you are the plague. Everyone's vacating the premises. Get away from, if you have to wear a mask, you need to be gone at home. And that's it. And that's what bought, like, you could take the precaution. I don't know if I have it. I might.
Yeah, I heard it's going around. I don't have any symptoms, but I'm wearing it prophylactically. I'm wearing it because you might be sick.
But because you have a mask on, people will lose their shit.
And say, you're sick, go home.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, plus, like, washing your hands. I mean, I'm always walking in an office and there's always sanitizer machines.
Man.
And I'm always using those, like.
Are your hands as chafed? My hands are so chafed now from all this hand washing. I know. I just can't.
I know. Hey, but you know what? If it keeps me from getting it, it's true. From not getting it, I don't care.
And the other side about it, too, though, is, I mean, it's not just keeping you from getting it, but it's also keeping the studios from closing down, keeping you working,
true,
keeping production going, keeping all us selfish viewers watching, right?
Well, I heard a lot of people too, Jim, were bitching like, well, why do the studios get to work and the restaurants? Well, you know what? I don't like things closed down, but the studios are the ones spending the money to have COVID officers. They're the ones that are getting people tested 2 to 3 times a week.
Yeah.
They're the ones that have, you know, they're being cautious where the restaurants can't afford that. So why should we suffer just because of restaurant can't stay open.
Right. And a restaurant is harder to handle too. You're dealing with half the people are employees, half the people are customers. When you're on the lot, it's all employees, you know?
True.
And Ted, the other side of that is every day Frank has to go through a gate.
Right, exactly.
Right? So there's a control point.
True.
Yeah, a restaurant doesn't have a control point but for the hostess. You know, yeah.
It's like, oh, you're right, Jim. Yeah, no, you're right. You're
and,
right.
You know, and you're right about that, Ted. I think, you know, or Frank, I'm not sure which one of you said. Frank, I think you were the one talking about who's paying for it. Everything is from Warner Brothers is going to HBO Max. And then, you know, there's a ton of money. When you look at, say, $15 a month times how many, like, thousands to millions of households that get that. And you can't just shut down production and say, you know what, we're done. We're not going to do anything, because at some point you're going to run out of content and people are paying for these streaming services. And you're looking at like hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, literally across the streaming industries, you're talking probably like $1 billion industry, multi-billion dollar industry.
Oh, right. Easy. More.
I get it. A mom and pop restaurant or a mom and pop shoe store or mom and pop anything isn't open.
I mean, it's unfortunate.
Yeah. But you're talking about like a massive multinational industry, really, mm-hmm. when you're talking right. about streaming and movies and television and Netflix and Hulu and just HBO and this whole thing. So, yeah, you guys have to be on point. Testing a lot, spending the money, because the money you're spending for all of the COVID precautions and the COVID prophylactic stuff and all of that, the money that you guys are spending on that stuff, I mean,
it's astronomical, Jim. You figure there's about every show probably has about 6 to 7 nurses.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And there's just a couple of COVID people like officers. Plus, most of the shows I get tested once a week. But the average, they'd say about 3 times a week. That adds up.
Yeah, definitely.
But think about it, though. Like, let's go back to the 1918 flu, right? People are quarantined. You are in a room by yourself. You might have a book. Today, you're in a room by yourself and HBO, Netflix. I mean, these are like your lifeblood to, like, keep you from depression.
Right.
So, I mean, everything you guys are doing is, in the world of COVID anyway, it's
God's work.
It is. It's so necessary, because you guys need to make sure the mental health of everybody, like, we have at least some bit of entertainment to distract us from, like, the hundreds of thousands of people dying and everything. I mean, oh, God. Like Ted said, it's God's work.
Man, no, it's it's scary.
It is. And I think what you guys are doing is as important as the healthcare and education and all that stuff, because at the end of the day,
it is a mental.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, when everybody comes home from work, like, you know, Clarissa comes home and she's stressed and she's taking showers and all this stuff. Man, I don't care if it's Warner Brothers or Disney or whatever, you know, I don't care if whatever it is, NBC or whatever. You plop down on the sofa and you're like,
that's us.
I need a break.
That's us, Jim.
And that's the break. Serious. That's the break.
It is.
You know, it gives you that mental break because you can't do the things that you typically otherwise would do.
Right.
So, Frank, man, you're like a soldier now that I, dude, thank you for your service, man.
Thank you for your essential work.
And I put my life at risk, too.
Yeah. So when you come home, what's Anna saying? Is she like, Frank, what's going on at work today? Is she concerned and worried, or is she just kind of like going with the flow, or what's her attitude?
Going with the flow. But we do exactly what you guys just said. Watch shows. We watch like Cobra Kai. We watch The Mandalorian. We watch, you know, whatever's
the flavor of the week.
Whatever it is, we'll watch. Exactly.
So you finished The Mandalorian too then?
I think I've watched more TV in the last year than I have my whole lifetime. I mean,
I know. Like, isn't that how it is?
It's amazing. Yeah.
So, Frank, you finished The Mandalorian, too.
Yep.
Give us your brief feedback. What do you think?
I thought it was friggin' fantastic.
Did you realize it took place shortly after Jedi?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, before Luke came in.
You knew the time frame.
The time frame. Yeah.
You did realize it.
I thought they made that clear. And I mean,
with Boba Fett, yeah, I guess it was kind of,
well, once he came
clear that it was post Return of the Jedi, but not too far.
I mean, I thought the CGI for Luke Skywalker wasn't the greatest, but it was cool to have him back.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looked kind of, it was a little fake, but
it's only getting better. It's only getting better. It's going to get better every year.
But Grogu, he's like one of the best characters. Oh, I love that little guy.
Let's put it this way. Christmas in the Van Kira house was Baby Yoda for everything.
No way.
Oh, they got Baby Yoda sweaters.
So did I. I got him too. I got a sweater.
They got Grogu Lego. They got Grogu everything, man. It was.
Hey, Jim, you see that?
What, your bike?
Hold on.
No, it's on the shelf. It's on the shelf. He's got a little Grogu.
Oh, I see him there. Yeah.
Grogu on the shelf. Nice.
But yeah, that was the Van Kira boy Christmas was Grogu.
Now they did a good job with it, I thought. I thought they did a fantastic job.
All right, gents, what do you say we get into Warner Brothers trailer tonight, which is a Denzel Washington trailer that Ted Cherry picked for us, The Little Things. So we all watched the trailer. What do you guys think? What are your thoughts?
All right, so I'll go through my selection process. Earlier this week, I chose it. So I said, well, I told the family before Christmas, I said, we're going to get HBO Max. It's steep. It's $15 a month. But now that Warner Brothers said that all of their theatrical releases for 2021 are going to be on the streamer for at least a month, then it's worth it, right? And it means every month there's going to be at least one thing that the family's going to want to watch, right? So we all watched Wonder Woman 84 on Christmas Day.
How was it? Good?
I liked it. Some people didn't like it.
I thought it was average, I'll be honest.
Oh, you watched it, Frank?
Okay, yeah. So
yeah, well, of course, I get it for work for free. It was okay. Campy, very campy.
It was okay. It's campy. It was campy. It was campy and cheese, you know. So it was 1984. You know, 1984 was about camp and cheese. So, and it has Mando. It has Mandalorian in it. It has him in it. So, and he plays this super cheesy infomercial guy. But anyway, so last week, I was like, all right, so now it's January. And I have to now justify holding on to HBO Max for this year, this upcoming year. So let me pull down the slate for all the Warner Brothers feature releases in the theater and see what movies I want to see and see if the family can see them, you know? So January was like, January is kind of tough. So this comes out January 15th. The Little Things. It is not a family feature.
Does not appear from the trailer. No.
It's a rated R serial killer movie, but it was so amazing. It's amazing to me that you have Rami Malek, Jared Leto, and Denzel Washington, right? And they stack those Academy Award winning, you know, the card on there with all the Academy Award winners, and this is going to be on a streamer next week. It's going to be up next Friday. It'll be on HBO Max next Friday.
It looks good, though. It looks really good.
It looks amazing. It's a feature film. It's made to be released in the theaters. It's got three Academy Award winners for best leading actor in these roles that it looks like this mind-bending thriller. And it's going up against WandaVision, which is also releasing next Friday. So next Friday, we're going to have tons of stuff to watch as a family, and then also stuff to watch, you know, this to watch kind of as a couple or by myself, because Anne's not into the serial killer kind of thrillers.
Yeah, I love Denzel.
I love Denzel. I love Denzel in horror movies, too.
Me, too. I know. I think he's fantastic.
I mean, Fallen? To me, Fallen is just one of his best movies.
I love that movie. That's one of my favorites too. I must have saw it like about 30 times.
It's a great movie. It's a great movie.
It is great.
Yeah, Denzel is amazing.
And Malik, he was awesome in Queen.
Yeah,
a good actor. He's a good actor.
Yeah, Bohemian Rhapsody was great.
Human Rhapsody. He was excellence in that. He's a good actor. I like him.
And what was the coding one, the computer hacking one? What was that? That was Mr. Robot.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Robot.
Oh, that was good.
Oh, yeah, he was in that, too. Mr. Robot was amazing. I mean,
he's a good actor.
Yeah, that one, that TV show, just like, it was just so freaky. It makes you want to not be on, like, Facebook and stuff, you know?
So what do you guys think about the trailer? The trailer definitely, it was so funny to come to this trailer and not see the trailer. The trailer dropped like 2 weeks ago, just dropped like December 22nd. So like kind of a weird place to drop and right before Christmas. And then to see like the release schedule for Warner Brothers and then have to try to look for this trailer, it's kind of buried, you know, it felt like a weird release.
And then it comes out next week, like you said.
And it comes out next week. So it's like this weird compressed schedule, you know, who knows what they're trying to do with this.
I mean, I think when you have 3 Academy Award winners, I think you need to put something like that at the forefront to just say, if anything, the legacy of it, you know, to say like,
yeah,
we have these guys out there in this movie that would have otherwise been a theatrical release, but it's coming on HBO Max, and then push the HBO Max subscription or something, you know, like,
yeah, yeah.
How do you not, as Warner Brothers and HBO and the partnership that they have, how do you not just like put it out, like even during like buy ads during the NFL games or something?
You know, it's so funny, Jim. I worked there and I didn't even hear of this thing until you guys told me about it. I'm like, what the heck is that?
Yeah, it's so bizarre. That's my point. That's my point, right?
They have no posters at work on it or nothing. I mean, they had.
Right? It's so amazing.
I mean, they had like all the. I mean, if you walk in all the offices like I was, you'll see a lot of the new King Kong posters coming out. That,
right, 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 right. Exactly.
You'll see the Wonder Woman poster. You'll see Tenet. I didn't see one poster on this thing, not one, zero.
You know what I bet it is, though? When you think about something like King Kong, you know, there's probably a lot of CGI, and it's probably, like, big budget and so on. This movie looks like it's a lot of dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably a lot of, you know, on scene from, like, you know, when they have, like, the police car pulling people over, whatever it might be. Maybe some stage stuff, but you don't have the big budget side of it other than maybe paying the actors whatever, so they're probably not pushing it as hard because it's not blockbuster material, it's more, you know, dialogue material,
right? It's like Academy fodder. It's more like these guys just pushing through acting chops kind of thing.
It looks good though. I like cop shows. I like those type of shows.
Yeah, no, this whodunit, man, it feels like they're all murderers.
Yeah, no, it looks good. It looks really good. It looks pretty darn good.
And Ted, you're right. I mean, it's like strictly based on their acting chops. Like, what could they bring to the table? And, you know, when you're looking at like just tone and facial and body language and all that stuff, I mean, it's everything that goes into acting. And you don't have the support of all the background explosions to carry the movie and such, you know what I mean?
Right. It relies on their chops, you know? It's all about what they can do, you know?
And what I like about the movie, or well, I should say the trailer, is it has a good sound score.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one where they're sitting around the black plastic bags.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It leaves that it leaves that cliffhanger like, who bagged the people?
Right, right.
Did they find it? Is that the killer?
Like, who done it? Oh, they all did it. You know what I mean?
Right.
That was my thought.
Those people that they dug up?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just freaky, man.
It looks good, though. It looks good.
And I don't know if you guys, so John Lee Hancock was the director of this. And I know, I think you, Jimmy, you like The Highwayman, right? That was that Netflix movie.
Oh, that was, yeah. Yeah, that was great.
And I love The Founder. I don't know if you ever saw The Founder.
I have not.
Never saw that.
The Founder's great. It's Michael Keaton, and he plays Ray Kroc. And it's about the founding of McDonald's.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
That was excellent. I like that one, too.
Yeah, so he directed that as well, and then Saving Mr. Banks. So Saving Mr. Banks
like
is another one. So, you know, both Saving Mr. Banks and The Founder are these character studies of real people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So now for him to have this story and the little things, you know, it's tasty on all levels. So next weekend, I'll definitely be watching this one.
I was going to say, you're going to watch this.
100%.
By yourself.
Me
though.
Too. Me too. Hey, if we like Fallen, we'll like that.
Oh, Fallen. Hey, you know, Fallen, Like every time I hear every time I hear that Rolling Stones song, man, it's all about the Rolling Stones. So it gives me chills.
You like the Stones, Bob? I love that movie. Did you ever see that, Jim?
No, I have not.
Oh my God, Jimmy, you gotta see The Fallen.
Oh man, you're missing out.
Go find it. Find it and rent it.
I got the DVD of it. And I got the Blu-ray of it. So.
Who started it?
And Denzel Washington and John Goodman. They play cops on the beat. Is it Chicago or it's New York?
New York, I think.
New York. But it's a supernatural thriller.
Oh, here you go. The Fallen. Yeah, I see it there.
Oh, it's great.
Okay. Oh, it's okay, one of my I'll favorites. Check it out. I'll check it out.
Just don't let the kids, might freak your kids out a little bit. No, I mean, it's like a little, it's, there's a couple, yeah, it's not like no, it's weird, not for, but, it's not but I can see the kids getting scared
I'll
by it.
I'll put it on after they go to bed.
Yes. You don't want to, you don't want them to see the opening gas chamber scene.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to see the opening gas chamber scene.
I love that.
All right, guys. So, briefly, let's get into like what we've been up to over the past few weeks. Frank, I know, Frank, you haven't been on for a little while, you know, since August. But, you know, Ted, what have you been watching? You know, and like I said, we don't have to go into detail. Just maybe a couple of things here and there. Brief rundown.
Episode 142, I will point to with my hand firmly planted on my back. What did I call in Cobra Kai? We've all seen Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
And what did I say when we had Allie as the cliffhanger on season two?
Yeah.
Did you remember what I said?
She'd be the cliffhanger season three.
I said she'd be in one episode.
She was in two episodes.
And she was in two episodes, but it was basically one little storyline. She didn't do much other than go to a party and hang out in a little fair. Right. So it was basically one storyline that carried across two episodes. But yeah, she was in it and it was wonderful. And it was just this amazing memory lane stroll of both Karate Kid 2, which Anne had never seen and never heard of, but
never
she still hasn't.
She never heard of it.
I was like, oh no, look, he's doing the honk thing. And when they did the recap at the top of the season and they didn't do honk, I was like, why didn't they do the honk, you know?
Yeah.
And then they hold it till the middle. And I was like, oh, it's beautifully done.
Yeah.
Beautifully like woven into the story.
Exactly. Exactly.
So there's some skill going on here. It is cheesy, but it's done very tastefully. And then the whole melee in the Russo house was just fun, right? It's just fun to see them trash the house.
Did Anne watch it with you?
No, she didn't watch it with me.
Ah, why doesn't she watch it?
She didn't watch Cobra Kai. My wife watched it. She loved it.
It's not her wheelhouse. Oh, you know, it's not The Crown. It's not. Oh, you know what? But so Anne and I, you know, Frank, you'll be happy. We're watching West Wing like it's going out of business, you know, like we're still, you love West Wing back in the day. I said, yeah.
That's a good show. That was a good show. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was
well,
a great
you
show.
Worked on it, didn't you, Frank?
Yeah, I did. Oh, yeah.
And I said, there's only a couple of times where President Bartlett pulls out a cigarette and smokes and he talks about it on the show. And I said, yeah. And Frank was smoking with him in real life out in the.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
And I know that from running in Maine, you know?
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's amazing.
Yeah, no, he was, yeah. That's a great show, West Wing. That was so.
And then the only other thing, I mean, I watched tons of stuff, so we won't hit all of it, but over the Moon, it's a great Netflix movie that I don't know whether you and the kids have seen it or not, but Jimmy, for you and the family, it's a great family
movie. I don't know why that sounds familiar. Maybe we did watch. I don't even know.
Over the Moon, it's like it's a Chinese story. It's so sad. It's written by Audrey Wells, and she wrote it as a swan song. She wrote it when she had cancer.
Oh, man.
And she knew that she was leaving her wife, her husband and her children.
No, we didn't see
And
it.
She wrote it for them, and it's kind of this story of a mother who passes away and leaves the husband and the daughter. And there's this Chinese fairy tale of what the moon is and the woman who lives in the moon. And they kind of, this girl goes on a fantasy trip to the moon. And it's just this beautifully musical and color-driven movie. And you want to talk about sound design. We have a 7.1 in the house, you know, so I have speakers that are like mid and rear.
Right, right.
And there's a couple of the songs where they're just spinning and lights and sounds, and it's all going all over all around the room. And it's going all over the room.
Oh, man, that's amazing.
Yeah, so it's amazing.
Yeah, we'll have to watch that.
Cool. How about you guys?
Have you guys seen the movie on the Disney Channel, Soul?
Oh, Soul. I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, we watched Soul.
Excellent movie. That was cute. That was so great. Oh, we loved that movie.
Yeah, we haven't had it's on the list. I think we were probably going to watch it tomorrow or maybe possibly next weekend. But yeah, that's definitely coming up on the list.
Kids will love it. Good. Very well done.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Oh, you know, one quick story about Pete Docter. And I don't know if I've told this before, but I don't think I've told Frank for sure. We were doing marketing for Up, you know, the movie Up back in the day. And Pete Docter came and he introduced the movie to us as the marketing team from Disney that was going to promote the movie throughout all the other lines of business. And he basically introduced this movie and I could just see Pete Docter. And I was like, I get executive crushes. And he was definitely one of my executive crushes when he was explaining how he was making this movie. And he's like, and we're testing this all through Arizona and through the Southwest. And we didn't have the montage of the couple growing old together. But what they did have was they had the pencil drawings. And when they had the pencil drawings, the artists that were working on Up, they said, we really love this montage so much that we're going to turn the pencil drawings into watercolors. So they actually showed us this watercolor montage and Up as part of it. And he stayed through the whole introduction of it. And it was just an amazing thing that I was like, oh, this is, and after you see the final product of Up, you know, he's had this through line of emotion through all of his movies from Up through Inside Out and now through Soul, where he's just kind of stripping away everything except the emotion. So everything has been this progression of like, here's a practical story that has high emotions in Up. And now here in Inside Out, here's an emotional story that has characters in real life and their real emotions, right? As humans. Uh-huh. And now in Soul, he's gone to the next level where it's surreal. It has this, you know, Picasso-esque, you know, take on reality. And it just takes you completely out of reality. And it's another step in the progression to just the core, you know, which is the soul, I guess, you know. So it's fun.
No, it was excellent.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah.
Another one you guys got to see is called Ma.
What's Ma?
Oh, no. You like that?
We watched it yesterday. We liked it. We liked it. We thought it was.
I haven't heard of that one
either.
Yeah,
don't watch that with your kids, Jim.
Oh.
No, that's not a kid movie. It's a horror movie.
That's not a kid movie.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll watch it after we hang up here. I don't know, but.
Pretty freaky. It's pretty cool.
M-A?
M-A.
Yep.
I think it's on Netflix. Was it on Netflix?
Octavia Spencer.
Yeah, she's excellent.
A few episodes ago, Ted made the comment that Rogue One was his favorite Star Wars movie because
I like Rogue One.
Builds up and ends. Yeah, I see it right there. It ends right at the beginning of A New Hope. And so The boys wanted to watch some Star Wars movie. And I said, what Star Wars movie? And they said, I don't know. And I said, well, how about Rogue One? Ted said it's his favorite. So we put it on, and I have a few criticisms, and I mean, don't get me wrong, I enjoyed it. I'm not saying I didn't enjoy it. I do have a few criticisms.
What are they?
One, there's no opening scroll.
Well, it's not Star Wars.
It is the opening scroll. It's from a scroll. It's a paragraph of an opening scroll already.
The whole movie's an
it's
opening
not Star
scroll.
Wars, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, I know, but so, yeah, I was like, wait, where's the opening scroll? So if you think about like a movie and a problem and the way it sets up the protagonist, the antagonist and everything, It doesn't establish that. I know you have like Mads Mikkelsen and his area and here comes the Empire and, you know, and they're trying to, you know, because he's the guy that got the Death Star going and all this stuff.
Right.
But they don't necessarily, like, if you think about the A New Hope, they establish the good guy and the bad guy, the protagonist and the antagonist and so on. They establish that early and you kind of know where that demarcation line is. And going into this, you kind of have an idea of where that line is because you know the history of Star Wars.
Right.
But if this was the first time you ever saw a Star Wars movie, you wouldn't know necessarily where that is.
Yeah, but you wouldn't start off with this movie, though, Jim.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
But what if this was the movie that was the first movie? What if you didn't know any better?
No,
though?
It wasn't. The Phantom Menace was the first.
Well, okay.
But if you're talking about the first movie that you would ever see if you were introduced to something. No, but
as
but,
a standalone
Jimmy,
movie is what I'm getting at.
Okay. But you've been to a fancy restaurant, right, Jimmy?
Yeah.
So you go to a fancy restaurant and you say, ooh, I'll take the hamburger, right? And what comes out on your plate? A little pate, a little piece of meat that's on top of a bed of guacamole, and then a little dollop of mayonnaise, and then a dollop of ketchup, and then a little roll, and it's all done in a line.
Yeah.
And somebody, and you say, what's this? It's a hamburger. Well, it's not a hamburger, but it's a deconstructed hamburger that some chef came up with, and it's beautiful, and it tastes wonderful, and it's an amazing thing.
Okay,
but then afterwards, you still need to go and eat another burger because you just spent $50 on this deconstructed burger, but it's a piece of art, right? So, I mean, if you're familiar with something, sometimes it's nice to take a fresher look at something and be have something that is shocking to you, maybe not, it's deconstructed. So it's a deconstructed, you know, saga within the Star Wars universe.
Okay. Okay. I get that, you know, but I don't know.
That's my defense of Rogue One.
I like Rogue One.
I enjoy, I'm not saying I didn't like the, obviously I like the movie.
I liked it better than Solo.
Yes.
You didn't like Solo.
I didn't hate it, but I thought Rogue One was better.
Yeah. Yeah.
The story was better. Tarkin was awesome. The last,
oh yeah, I agree with that.
The last 10 minutes was like, as a Star Wars fan, it kind of like, holy crap, this brings me back to my childhood. It's like, oh my god, this is where it all started, you know? It's like where it all started.
Well,
is where
was,
that ended.
It was just minutes before A New Hope.
Exactly. Right. That's why it brought me back to my childhood.
Yeah,
it's just
exactly.
Like it's the start of it all.
No,
it was good.
And you know, believe me, I'm grasping at straws to pick on something for it, you know? I don't know if it's my favorite. I wouldn't say it's my favorite.
No, I'd say it's my favorite, but I...
What's your favorite? What's your favorite?
Mine is the original Star Wars.
I agree. Mine is the original Star Wars, and later they called it A New Hope.
Then Empire.
Okay, right. That's true.
Yeah.
What's your guys' least favorite?
Oh.
Oh, but
Phantom
forget
Menace.
The new ones. They don't count as far as I'm concerned. I like the Phantom Menace now.
Least favorite, worst Star Wars they have ever made.
I thought Attack of the Clones was worst. I mean, I don't know.
Really?
No, I don't.
Attack of the Clones.
I think Phantom Menace. I agree. I think Phantom Menace.
Phantom Menace was the worst.
Just the least of these.
Well, I thought the last three were the worst.
You didn't like those?
I didn't hate them.
I didn't mind the last three. I mean, you're talking about the ones with Kylo Ren and all that stuff.
Right.
Yeah, I just didn't like them. I thought Lucas did a better job writing them and directing them than these guys did.
Yeah.
Than Abrams.
Yeah. He ruined Star Trek and he ruined Star Wars. What could you say?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
What else you watch?
Oh, I don't know what else we watching. I mean, we're you know, obviously the stuff you did too, you know, Cobra Kai.
Sure, we all watch the same thing.
Yeah, other than that, though, it's just a bunch of Netflix stuff. And, you know, we finished Nightfall. That's on Netflix. But that's a, what do you call it? That's a
BBC.
A History Channel.
Oh, History Channel.
TV show. Nothing out of the ordinary, I guess. How about you, Frank? Anything exciting?
I can't remember. We saw so much stuff, Jim. I can't even remember.
Right.
What we've seen.
I know. I hear you.
I mean, I'm sure I could ask Anna what we've seen, but we've seen. I mean, it's like we're knocking off like 12 episodes of a series every couple of weeks. You know?
Yeah, you watch so much, you can't even keep track.
I can't even keep track, Jim. I'll be honest. I mean, Rogue One. I mean, not Rogue One. See, now you got me saying that. The Mandalorian, I love that. I love Cobra Kai.
Oh, yeah. The Mandalorian we finished. That was another one we finished. Yeah. I mean, that was great.
I can't remember some of the other shows we've seen, Jim. There's so many of them.
You know what's hard? You know what's hard? It's hard to get a 13-year-old girl who likes, like, horror movies, like R-rated horror movies. Like, she doesn't care about blood and guts and gore and stuff. And she watches stuff that I don't even care for. And I'm like, ugh, am I a bad parent to not care that she's watching this stuff? Oh. But whatever, she's fine. She doesn't, you know, she doesn't bother me with it. And and just don't tell mom. It's fine. We're fine. And then to have an 11-year-old who's very sensitive about the movies that he watches and the drama that he sees. Like, if there's tension in a scene, like, he'll ask us to turn the thing off. You know, like, he doesn't like a lot of heightened tension.
Like emotional tension.
Emotional tension, or somebody's like going to find something out. And I said, all right, well, you know, you've become a very hard person to pick movies for. But while we were away on Christmas Day or Christmas, on New Year's Eve, the eve of New Year's Eve, whatever, during the day, we took some time off and we were like, all right, let's watch a movie. And I found Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh,
God, I've seen that in years.
And I hadn't seen it forever, right? And I was like, oh, we should watch Mrs. Doubtfire. And I thought, and Bryce, oh man, he was enthralled by the movie. He loved it. There were scenes where he was running out of the room, and we're up in Los Gatos. So he would run out of the room and run upstairs, and he'd run like as far away as he could run. You know, when Robin Williams is getting drunk at the bar, at the pool, you know, and he's like hitting on the girl but he's in the Mrs. Doubtfire gear, you know, and I had to call him back and he just fell in love with this movie. He's wanted to watch it twice since then.
Wow, that's amazing.
So he is definitely identified with this, with his family and with this comedy. And it's just, it's a lovely movie, and it just goes all the places, you know, that it used to. And it's kind of weird because you watch it now and there's some inappropriate stuff in it because of the time and the place, but you know, for its time, and you kind of give it a pass, and it's an amazing movie. Worth a revisit.
Man, that's hilarious, though, that Bryce connects with Mrs. Doubtfire.
And in the end, I think, you know what, in the end, when he has the show as Mrs. Doubtfire on PBS, it really makes him feel like it's some kind of origin story for Mr. Rogers. And he's a huge Mr. Rogers fan, like, you know, like, so I think it hits a Mr. Rogers nerve for him.
I kind of relate with that, Ted. That's like my kids, Jim. Amanda used to watch Saw. She used to watch all those weird movies, and Tiffany would like, I ain't watching that stuff. She'd watch like The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And my other daughter's watching like all this, like, I'm like, I don't even watch Saw. That's too graphic for me.
Yeah.
And she's watching all that stuff. So I get what you're saying about one kid's this way, and that's weird. I know. And you raise them the same way, and you wonder why.
And they're different people.
All right, gentlemen, what do you say we cut out of here? Frank, it was great talking with you. Glad to have you on again. We'll get you on again in the future. We'll have more of a regular show, maybe, where we just do, like, trailers and such. And, you know, as opposed to, you know, talking about like what's going on with your work, you know, but, you know, in the light of COVID, a new year and moving forward, we wanted to touch base with you, see where things were.
Super interesting. Love it.
Yeah, it is. And just how you guys are handling it. And I'm sure you and Universal and Paramount, and I'm sure everybody's kind of doing it the same way.
Thank you, guys.
So, yeah, we'll get you back on again in the future. And maybe, like I said, we'll do more of a traditional Trailer Junkies podcast show.
Hey, maybe I'd love to be on. Let's do the Mandalorian Season 3 trailer. Cobra Kai Season 4.
There you go. When that trailer drops, let's pull you in, yeah.
Or a new Star Wars movie.
There you go.
Yeah, another Star Wars movie or something. We'll get you on and we can talk that and yeah, it'll be a lot of fun, but yeah, we're glad to have you on again.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, gentlemen, glad to be back for 2021, and here's to a healthy and prosperous new year, and let's have a bunch of good Trailer Junkies podcast episodes looking forward.
Awesome.
All right, man. We'll talk to you guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
All right, later.
Have a great one.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the Holy Trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.